If you'll turn in your menu, if you would, to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. We are going to continue our study from last week, in which we were studying why the people came to Jesus. And we actually first looked at who these people were. We discovered that they were the fresh apostles that Jesus had just chosen, that when he came off the mount onto that plain, that flat area, that there were his disciples, a large group of disciples had also come. We also discovered that from the various regions of Jerusalem and Judea and the seacoast area of Tyre and Sidon, that people came there as well. In other words, a great mixture of people, a great multitude of people came. And we discovered that God loves all people, that he doesn't have just a select group of people, but he desires that everybody would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We also began to look at why people actually came to Jesus. We discovered that the first reason they came was to hear the words of Jesus. And we saw the spiritual benefits of hearing the Word of God. How that when people hear the Word of God, they are able now to take ownership of the Word of God. And actually, when the Word of God grabs hold of them, hold of us, that we are able to speak with authority and confidence the Word of God. Have you ever noticed somebody that doesn't really have a lot of confidence and is trying to sell you a bill of goods on something? You just don't really have confidence in them. Let's say, for an example, you wanted to buy an airplane. And you went to the airplane car lot or airplane lot. And you walk up and there's a salesman that comes out and you say, I want to buy a plane. I just want to fly in something new and exciting. And this salesman says, well, we've got a brand new type of plane that's out here today. It's just on the market fresh. And I hear that it does all kinds of aerodynamics and it just has such a great takeoff speed and short runways. It's just a phenomenal plane. It looks a little strange, the new design that it has. You may not be used to the look of it, but I hear that it's a wonderful plane. And you said, what? You hear? It's a wonderful plane. Have you ever flown it? Oh, no, I haven't. But I hear that it's really good. You want to take it up by yourself? That plane over there that doesn't have a tail or anything like that on it? You've never flown? No, but I hear. Now, how much confidence are you going to have in that man? But if you would come to that same lot and you would come up to another salesman and say the same thing. I want to fly something new and exciting and really dynamic. And he goes, you know what? This plane over here, it doesn't look like it can do things. But let me tell you, I have been in it many times. I'll tell you the aerobatics that this plane can do is phenomenal. And the being able to take off in such a short amount of time and runway and it lands so smooth. Let's go up together. I love this plane. Come on, join in with me on this plane. Which one of those would you have more confidence in? Who would you buy it from? The first one or the second one? The first one. Dean, you're never doing this again, buddy. Obviously, you would have confidence in the second person who has actually experienced flight in that machine. Is that not correct? We as Christians, sometimes we try to talk to people about things that we've never experienced in the Word of God. And we wonder why people look at us like, you don't seem like you really know what you're talking about. And you know why? Because you don't. Because you haven't taken the Word and allowed it to become part of your life. You haven't taken ownership in the Word of God. You haven't seen it work through your life, but how many times have you been able to be with somebody who's going through something and you've experienced it with God already, and you can say, let me tell you what God has done for me. See the difference? You've been able to do that. And that's why it's so important to let the Word of God grab hold of you. You take ownership and speak with great confidence. We also discovered that through the Word of God in Romans 10:17, we learned that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. You grow and your faith grows as you become part of the Word of God. I encourage you, that's just a little highlight of a lot more that we covered. Get a copy of it last week, you really enjoy it. So let's move on with our text today and look for another reason on why the people came to Jesus. We're going to go ahead and read through our text. In verse 17, it starts and it says this, "And he," that would be Jesus, "came down with them," that would be those that he chose to be his apostles, "and he stood on a level place." So we know that this is different than the Sermon on the Mount. "With the crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people in all of Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him," Jesus, "for power went out from him, and he healed them all." Verse 17 tells us that they came to be healed by Jesus. And verse 19 tells us that they were all healed by Jesus. Now, if you recall, if you were here when we were going through Luke chapter 5, there in verse 12, we saw that a leper had come to Jesus desiring to be touched and cleansed. And Jesus said, "What is it that you want from me?" And the leper said to him, simply this. It was a beautiful thing. He said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." He didn't say, "If you're capable." For we understand that Jesus is more than capable. More than capable. And I believe that Jesus still heals today. I shared the testimony of what he did with my mother. When the doctors had written her off, she was paralyzed completely in a wheelchair. And as I prayed over her, she got up out of that wheelchair and walked. A miracle took place. And Marcy reminds me, I always forget the other miracle, that when we took our kids up to that hospital where my mom was out and in that patio, the kids were so sick, they couldn't even come close to her, that the second that God healed my mom, all the sicknesses of my kids just went away instantly. They were healed. It just kind of flooded over onto them. And what an amazing thing that God did. Yes, God is still in the business of healing today. But we also looked at the question, why is it that sometimes when we pray for people or for ourselves, that sometimes we are healed and that sometimes we are not healed? That's an important question to understand. Now, we looked at that situation where some people will try, if you are not healed, they'll try to blame it on you that you have sin, or you don't have enough faith, and they make you feel really lousy about yourself. Now, I'll be honest, we looked at that. Yes, sometimes sin can hinder God's work in your life. And sometimes a lack of faith can. But that's not a blanket statement. That's not a blanket statement that anybody should put upon anybody. We actually went through the scriptures and we looked at various places that people were left sick in the scripture. We looked at Paul the Apostle, where he had that, what I believe to be that eye disease. He refers to it as the thorn in the flesh as a reference in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 6 through 10. He talks about that thorn in the flesh. And Galatians talks, and that's why I believe that it was an eye disease, that he said, "If you could, you would have plucked your own eyes out and given them to me." And there was a disease during that time that the eyes would just constantly weep and you couldn't see clearly. And that's why I believe that at the end of many of his epistles, he writes, "Look how big I write with my own hand here," because that's how large he had to write just to be able to see it. That's my personal opinion. If you want to believe something else, that's perfectly fine. If you want to be wrong, there's no problems with that. I have no problems with that whatsoever. But he said, "I went to the Lord three times to remove this." And what did God say? Is not my grace sufficient for thee? And yet did not Paul, I mean, sure, we're all sinners, but he didn't have sin in his life. He prayed for people and he was healed. He had faith beyond measure, and yet he was sick. So we can't condemn people if they're not healed by God. And there are reasons that people may not be healed. And I think the biggest reason that I have seen in my own personal life, and I have seen in other people, as I've experienced God for over 30 years in ministry, and I would want you to go there with me on this, to 2 Corinthians in chapter 1, because I believe that this is so important that we must take ownership of this, because if we don't, we could just be beat up by the devil if we don't get healed. And yet I believe that this one God uses so radically in people's lives. Verse 3, it says, "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the suffering of Christ abounds in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ." There are times in your life that unfortunately you're not going to get the physical healing. But what happens during that time is the same thing as with Paul, that God said, "Is not my grace sufficient for you?" The comfort of God to reach down into your heart and to comfort you in that time of need. And what happens is then you are able then to take that comfort that you have experienced, and God brings somebody else to you. And with that, then you're able to minister to them the same comfort that you received in your life as well. I can't tell you how many times I have seen this in my life, and I've seen this in lives of people, and how it has touched and encouraged people so much. So, if you get healed, praise the Lord. If you don't get healed, praise the Lord. You get to comfort somebody in their time of need as well. Now, I do want to look this morning at some reasons, other reasons, on why sometimes people don't get healed by Jesus as well. I have four of them, and then I want to go through some scriptures and talk about how to get our heart prepared when we go to the Lord for asking for healing. But the first reason I believe that some people don't get healed by Jesus is simply this, is that they turn to the medicine cabinet, or they turn to doctors, and they turn to their insurances first. Now that brings up the question, is medication, is doctors, are insurances wrong? Absolutely not. No, not if they are proper medication and a good doctor and good insurance. Those things are a blessing. But what I'm trying to say is that way too many people, what they do is they turn first to the medicine cabinet. They turn first to the doctor. They run right away to get the insurance to see if this is covered. They instantly do that. And then when all these things happen and they're not healed, then they throw up a cry, "Jesus, 911, help!" They go to him last. Why is it that we go to Jesus last instead of going to him first? Why do we do that? Why is it that so often we'll wake up in the morning, we'll have a headache, oh man, and we just stumble over to the medicine cabinet? "God, heal me." After we down four aspirin, then we ask him to heal us? Why don't we go first to the Lord in prayer? "God, I got a headache. This hurts. I don't like this." You know what headaches are like. Do you think that praying for 5 minutes or 10 minutes is going to kill you? I don't think so. Give Jesus the first shot. Give him 5 minutes, give him 10 minutes, you got a headache or something. And then, if he doesn't heal you, go to the medicine cabinet, get your aspirin, say, "Lord, I gave you a chance, I'm going to take this medication now." You had your chance. You can heal in an instant. You created the whole world in 6 days, everything, the universe and people and animals and everything. 5 minutes, you could heal this headache. So I gave you a chance. I'm not doubting you, but I know that you use medicine as well to heal, Lord. So I just want to do that. I'm going to give you that first opportunity. Now, I want to make something very, very clear here. I'm not talking about medication to keep our bodies in balance, because sometimes our bodies get out of balance in this world. Let me tell you where it comes from. When God created man and woman in the garden, everything was perfect, everything was in balance, but something happened there, and we all know what that is. What? Sin. Sin entered into the human race. And when sin entered into the human race, what was one of the things that started happening to our bodies? Our bodies started breaking down, did they not? They no longer lived for the long spans that they had. And the reason that they didn't live for the long spans that they had is they began breaking down sooner. So our bodies begin breaking down as a result of sin. And sometimes when our bodies break down and start deteriorating, you know, there are medications to help keep those things in balance. Some people have high blood pressure. Well, I'd say, Jesus, heal my high blood pressure. Well, in my case, I have low blood pressure. Jesus, heal my low blood pressure. And if he doesn't do it, I don't take medication for it, but if he doesn't do it, then it's good to take the medication to keep you in balance. If you have a thyroid problem, there's nothing wrong with taking thyroid medication to do that. You see what I'm saying? That our bodies break down, and if you have a good doctor who really cares and understands and really keeps a close eye on you, there's nothing wrong with going to a good doctor. Now, the reason I'm emphasizing good doctors is because there's a lot of doctors out there that are not good. They just want to run you in and run you out, and if they see you in 6 months, so be it. But they don't really care that much about it. Let me give you an example about this. Barbara Hunt's mom. Her mom would be on medication and get a side effect from the medication, go to the doctor. This doctor would find out what the side effect was, give different medication for the side effect. By the time they finally, this guy retires, the mom's in a cloud, just barely living. A new young doctor comes in. They take her there to the new young doctor, and he looks at these, 30 medications she's on. And he goes, we're taking her off of everything. Got her taken off of everything, got her body back in balance, gave her just the bare medicine that her body needed, and she lived a good, healthy life for a long time before the Lord called her home. And there's a lot of doctors that are out there. They're treating the side effects of other medication instead of finding the root of the problem. Make sure that you have a good doctor. There's nothing wrong with that. But what I'm trying to say here is go to Jesus first, the great physician. It's important that we would do that. So sometimes people don't get healed simply because they don't go to Jesus and ask him. Ask and you shall receive. Jesus said, ask anything in my name, it'll be given unto you, that the Father in heaven will be glorified. Now, he's going to be glorified either by healing you or allowing you to comfort somebody else because you have been comforted by the Lord. But the point is, go to Jesus first. Way too many people never go to Jesus at all. They just run and grab the medication. Number two, some people, even if they go to Jesus, are not healed because they're not willing to change. Okay? Some people, even if they go to Jesus, are never healed because they're not willing to change. Again, let's go back to the garden. What happened in the garden? Sin happened. Bodies started breaking down. People started marrying with broken down bodies. Got weird gene pools developing and passing down to the offspring. And as a result of that, we don't get to choose who our parents are. And we have weird things that we got from them. Let me ask you a question. And let's be honest and transparent here with a show of hands. How many people in this congregation this morning have allergies of one kind or another? Look at the other ones who are lying or are blessed. One of the two. Now, we all have allergies, right? In one form or another, a lot of people have allergies. Now, is that because of your personal sin or your lack of faith? No. It's because of back in the garden, sin entered in. People got together, married, weaknesses of bodies, they passed them down, and we just inherited the different things that we ended up getting. But as a result of that, we're stuck with those things in our bodies. They're part of us now. If you have a certain allergy, that's part of you. And we have to have wisdom as well with our bodies and with our lives and what we're supposed to do with that. Let me give you an example. Say you have a problem with your stomach when you eat ice cream. I know I told you I wasn't going to be talking about a lot of food in the middle of the congregation, but this is a good example. Every time you eat ice cream, I don't care what kind it is, a strawberry blonde at, down there at Cold Stone or Rocky Road ice cream, whatever your favorite ice cream is, you just think of your ice cream and all of a sudden it's like a hook in you and they just reel you in. And so you go down and you get your ice cream, your favorite kind, and then about 15 minutes later, ooh, cramps. Ow. Ooh. Oh. And you can get the rest of the picture going on there. So you go to Jesus first. Jesus, every time I eat ice cream, I get the, ooh, ah, ee, ah, it hurts. Would you heal me? Eat more ice cream. Oh, ee, you didn't heal me. Okay, I'm going to go to a doctor. Find out what the deal is. And so what happens, you go to the doctor and you tell him how you go the symptoms when you eat ice cream, and he diagnoses you and says, you have a lactate allergy. And you go, what's that? He says, dairy products, your body just does not break them down the way they're supposed to be broken down. Now you can do one of two things. You can quit eating all dairy products, or you can take this little lactate enzyme, buy them at Walmart, wherever, over the counter, and you just take them before you eat your ice cream, and the enzymes will go in there, help it to break it all down, and you won't have any problems. You go, okay, great. So where do you go? Right from the doctor's office, you run to Cold Stone, you get your ice cream, and you don't take any enzymes. Oh, God, why? Why do we act that way? We didn't change. We didn't take the mature, responsible truth that our bodies just can't handle certain things. Some of you remember Dr. Hayworth? Remember Dr. Hayworth? I was having some major chest pains. I had no idea what was going on. And I was worried about it, and I went there and I sat in his office, and you know, he just looked at me, and you know, I had my shirt off because he was doing all that, and he looks at me and he goes, boy, you're sure out of shape. You're really flabby. No wonder your heart's acting this way. Dr. Hayworth had that ability to make you feel that big, and then he'd build you up. And he goes, but we need to do a treadmill, and we need to do this, and we need to do that. And so I did the treadmill, and everything was fine with my heart. And I went back, and you know, he looks at everything. He goes, well, your heart, you're going to live till, your heart's going to outlive you. It's going to live till 100. Your heart's strong. You got a good heart. I go, well, why do I have all these pains? And he goes, well, I don't know. What you been eating? And I go, well, I eat everything that I've always eaten. And he goes, what? He goes, I eat everything that I've always eaten. And he made me say it four times because I didn't get it. And I didn't understand what he was trying to tell me. And finally, he says, don't you hear yourself? I have always eaten. You're not a teenager anymore. Your body changes, and you've got to be wise enough to change with your body. So just start watching what you're eating, and if you feel these things, then you notice you got to pull away from this. Well, there was a great sandwich shop in town at that time called the Brown Bag, and I used to get about 4, 5, 6 of these pepperoncini peppers. And I'd eat it with my sandwich. And every time I would do that, I'd start getting that. And I went, oh, doggone it, he was right. So I cut back to 2 and don't ever have a problem. True, I can eat 2 and I don't have a problem. But my point is that some people are not willing to change. I am not kidding you. I knew a person who was allergic to cigarette smoke, and it had devastating effects on his body. And yet he would not quit smoking cigarettes, even though the doctor told him, these are the effects that this is having on you, and you need to quit smoking. And he wouldn't quit smoking cigarettes. And so some people are never going to get healed because they're not willing to change, is what I'm trying to point out. Are the things that are going on in your physical being, and you're feeling like God's abandoned you, or just totally left you out of the picture, simply because maybe it could be that you're not willing to change? You know, a good diet, a healthy diet, could take care of a lot of physical problems. And actually, if you're praying and you're praying and praying, maybe God's whispering, stop eating pepperoncini peppers, you know, stop doing this, stop doing this. And maybe God's giving you wisdom on not to do certain things that are affecting you that way. And that could be holding that physical well-being back. So that's another reason why some people don't get healed. Now, I am going to probably step on some people's toes here. And if I do, I apologize in advance because of the next issue. I'm going to talk about emotional healing as well. There are some people who have emotional needs, and there's nothing wrong with having emotional needs. God can heal an emotional need as well as he can heal a physical need. But some of the times that people don't get healed of their emotional needs, it's simply because they will go to the world's way of dealing with their emotional healing, and they end up being worse and tail spinning down simply because they didn't do it the way God would want you to do it. There was for quite a while, and there still is, a big thing about hidden memories, you know, memories that have been oppressed, and yet, you know, they're gnawing away at somebody. And so the world's way of dealing with this is to psychoanalyze it, take you back through regression, bring that memory to the front, and then start to deal with it. But the problem with that, and the world's ways of finding memories, if they're true, because some of them aren't, they're suggested, but there are definitely memories of abuses, say sexual abuse when you were a child by somebody, and you black that out of your mind. Your mind is a phenomenal thing. It will shut down horrible memories so that you don't have to deal with that. And yet sometimes they can be brought back out. And what the world does is they will dig in and they will get it up, but you're not ready to deal with it, and you go into a tailspin. And as a result, it takes years to get over it. Now, let me tell you what I have done with people who have those emotional needs, who have abuse situations, and it's a horrible thing. And if you've ever been sexually abused by anybody, you need to know that it is not your fault. That sin that entered into the world, and the person yielded to sin and took advantage of a person they should have never done with that. And really, if you want to know what I think ought to be done with those people, you can ask me privately, because you probably don't want to hear it from the pulpit, because I think they should be dealt with severely. That's my personal opinion. Severely. They should never damage a little child like that. And the little kids live with those things and the hauntingness of that and the horribleness of that. But should we dig it all up when you're not ready to deal with it? Let me tell you how I deal with it. I'll sit down and I'll listen to the people, and I've done this in 30 years. I've done it multitudes of times with people. And the people that take my advice, they get healed. The people that don't, they tailspin. And it's really sad. But I will acknowledge that there's a very good possibility that maybe something has happened to them. What it is, we don't know, because you don't know what it is. But there's no reason to pretend that it didn't happen. But there's no reason to live as a victim either at this point. So what I tell them is, well, you need to go before the Lord in prayer. And you need to say, Father, I believe that there might be something here. What it is, I have no clue of. I don't know what it is, but it might be there. But I want to trust you emphatically with this issue. I want to believe that you can take care of it. And what I want to do, Father, is that as you begin to work in my heart and begin to mature me and begin to change me spiritually. So that when it does come to my remembrance, when you bring it to my remembrance, you will have already spiritually matured me. You would have dealt with my heart in the areas if forgiveness needs to be there. All the things that I need to have in my toolbox, if you would, Father, to deal with this the right way spiritually, I give you permission to take care of it and deal with me and mature me and just get me to that point spiritually that when it comes up, I'll be able to handle it spiritually and in a mature way. And until that time, Father, I am going to continue to seek you, put you first in my life. I'm going to love you. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to get involved in my life with you and in the church. I'm going to be active with you in the church. I'm going to do everything that a healthy Christian is supposed to do because I am a healthy Christian. I just have this issue. So therefore, Father, I lay it on your table. Your timing, when you want to bring it up, Jesus, you bring it up because then I'll be prepared. And I tell them, don't start focusing and fixating on what that is. Focus and fixate on Jesus. Acknowledge to him that you want that work in your life so that you will be prepared when it happens. And you know what happens? Exactly that. Whether it's a week, a month, or a year, I've had people come back and say, you know, it happened. 3 years later, it happened. And this is what God did for me all through that time. And when he brought it up to me, I was able to deal with it without a tailspin, without anything. I was able to spiritually take care of it. And as a result of that, I am healed from this completely. And I hold no bitterness towards this person. Matter of fact, I pray for them because they're desperately lost. And what a difference it is than going through the emotional turmoil of having it dug up and you're not prepared for it spiritually. It does actually more damage than good. Now, am I trying to say that somebody shouldn't go to a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a counselor or whatever? I'm not telling you what to do, but I will tell you this. Whoever you talk to, whether it's me or anybody else, you better make sure that everything they say to you can be washed through the Word of God. Can be washed through the Word of God. Never take counsel or advice from anybody that it can't be pointed back to the Word of God. That's critical. A lot of people say, well, I go to a Christian counselor or a Christian psychologist. Let me ask you this. Do you go to a Christian mechanic for your car to be fixed? Do you? Or do you go to a mechanic who happens to be a Christian and uses the exact same tools that the secular mechanic down the street uses? See, it's not the person that you need to be looking at, it's the tools you need to be looking at. Now, obviously, the Christian mechanic will have better ethics and morals and standards than the secular one who may be out there to rip you off and to tell you that you need something that doesn't really need to be done. But the wrenches that the secular guy uses and the wrenches that the Christian guy uses, they're still the same wrenches. You see what I'm saying? There's a lot of Christians out there who are in the area of counseling that are using secular tools. And that's why you need to know the Word of God so that you can determine whether that's a secular tool that's not lining up with the Word of God or it's a principle that can be found in the Word of God. Because there's a lot of things out there that are not healthy or good. And the reason I'm so emphatic on this, I had a woman come to me. She was in tears. She was embarrassed on what she had done. She said, I didn't want to come to you and tell you that my marriage was shot, that it was just going downhill. So I went to this counselor and I told him my story. And he told me what I needed to do is that I had low self-esteem and I needed to feel good about myself. And so what he wanted me to do was get a bunch of my girlfriends that would go and go to one of these bars that have the guys dancing. And I thought it was strange, but, you know, he had the degrees on the wall. So it must have been okay, I guess. And I went and had some drinks, and the guys did their thing. And I went back to him and said, okay, I did it. And then he went on to progress to tell her, now what I want you to do is to go to a bar by yourself and let a man come up to you and begin talking to you. And I want you to flirt a little bit and let him flirt with you. She goes, that was weird, but okay. And she did it because he had the degrees on the wall. And so she did it, not feeling right, but she did it. Then she went back and told him, and he says, now what I want you to do is I want you to go because you still don't feel that you're loved by your husband, he's not treating you right. I want you to go and let another man pick you up and take you to a hotel room and really experience what love's all about. And she said, I know that was wrong. And she goes, I feel so dirty on what I've already done, and I came to you to confess. There's a lot of bad counsel out there, folks. A lot of bad counsel. And that's not a made-up story. That's a factual story. Know the Word of God. Know what the Word of God says. And if it is contrary, any advice you get whatsoever, if it is contrary from the Word of God, I don't care how good the person looks or talks or even smells, stick to the Word of God. Because it's much better, and it'll bring you that health and that healing. Emotional healings are desperately something that we need, but do it the right way, and you'll be blessed for it. Another reason that some people don't get healed is simply because of fear of failure. They're afraid that if they go to the Lord and they ask for a healing and it doesn't happen, what are people going to think of me? You know what? Don't care what people think of you. Be more concerned about what Jesus thinks of you. And why are you even here on this earth? Revelation 4:11 tells us very clearly, we are here for a specific reason, and that is to bring pleasure to God. So don't be thinking about what people would think. Be thinking about what God desires and what God wants, and you'll be much better off. Know that Jesus Christ is more than capable of physically healing you, emotionally healing you, spiritually healing you. He's more than capable of doing that. We have seen healings throughout the scriptures, all over the place. I'm going to go through these real quick. We're not going to turn and look at these, but you can catch the verses up on the screen. You can write them down if you want. But all through the scriptures, in many different ways, we've seen that. Where we've seen direct intervention, where Jesus just comes right out and he does it in Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Remember, he's in the synagogue. There was a guy with a withered hand. He made him stand up. And he healed him right there on the spot. He just intervened. And God can do that. He answers prayers of friends when people pray for other people. We saw that when the friends of the guy that was lame carried him on a cot and tore the roof apart and lowered him down there in Mark chapter 2, verse 5, that Jesus saw their faith and he healed the man because of that. He said, your sins were forgiven. We also see that the response of other people's prayers. In James chapter 5 and verses 15 and 16, it says, if any of you are sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. They will anoint you with oil, and their prayer of faith will make you whole. So he will answer that because of faith of other people. He will answer prayer even in spite of unbelief. If you remember in Mark chapter 6 and verse 5, where he went to his own hometown, and there were many people there that didn't believe in him, and he still laid hands on a few and healed them, even though unbelief was all around. And he also, like I mentioned earlier, will heal through medication, 2 Kings 20, verse 17, 1 Timothy 5, verse 23. And he also will heal through doctors as well. Doctors are okay. Do you know that the gospel that we're studying right now was written by a doctor, Dr. Luke? If you want the reference to that, you can look later in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, where it says, our beloved Luke, the physician, he was a doctor. Even Jesus said that doctors were important, which we'll look at in just a minute. So we see that there's healings throughout the Bible. If I would show, let's be honest. Have you ever personally, in your life, as a Christian, ever received a physical healing? Raise your hand. There are people in this room who have actually been physically healed. What does that tell us? It tells us that God is still active today. So if you're not being healed, it could be some of the things that we have looked at this morning. Or it could be that God wants you to comfort other people as well. And to me, that's just as big of a miracle to be able to comfort somebody. If you could ever comfort somebody and they can, and you just see in their eyes just from the pain and the agony, all of a sudden it just dissipates into peace that surpasses all understanding. Oh, what a glorious thing that is to have the privilege of doing in some people's lives. But I think it's important that we don't focus so much on why sometimes we're not healed without looking at how we should present ourselves to the Lord to get ourselves ready to be healed. So I want to go through some scriptures that will, are basic scriptures that will get your heart and your soul into a position to be healed. And I'd like to read through these. So the first one we want to go to is in Matthew chapter 11. If you'll turn there, please. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. These are important verses. I want you to go there in your Bible, please. In verse 28, it says this, and we know that this is Jesus speaking. Why? That's right. It's in red letters. There you go. And verse 28 says this, and just in your heart, picture in your mind Jesus saying to this to you personally, "Come unto me, all you who are laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What's Jesus saying here? He's saying, come to me first. Take my yoke. Don't do it on your own. And I will give you rest. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the rest of these things will be added on. Seek Jesus first. Go to him first. Go to Jesus first. Don't go to him with a 911 cry. Go to him first. Jesus, I'm coming to you first with this need. The next one we want to go to is in 1 Peter. There in chapter 5, 1 Peter in chapter 5, all the way towards the end of your Bible. I don't hear all your pages moving. 1 Peter chapter 5. In verses 6 and 9, listen, or 6 through 9, listen to what Peter says here. He says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him. Notice, for he cares for you. Verse 7. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brethren in the world. You need to know, you go to God, and you need to know that God loves you very much. It's very evident through the scripture, through what he's done for us, that he loves you very much. But also know that Satan hates you very much. And he will do what he can to play havoc in your life. And know, because what the devil, one of the ploys that he would try to get you to believe is that you're the only one that's going through what you're going through. Let me ask you a question. Do you think you're so special in this whole world that you're the only one that's facing what you're facing? No. The scripture is so clear that you are not the only one. Dean's facing major back surgery. Major back surgery. So what happens? Is Dean going to sit around and go, I'm the only one that this has ever happened to in the whole existence of history? Poor me. No. He's going to Jesus first. We've interceded. We have anointed him with oil. We have prayed. He's sought all kinds of different doctors. He's found the doctor that he has believed that the Lord has led him to. And he's preparing himself to go through surgery. And he's not sitting around saying, I'm the only one. And even the doctor says, you're not the only one. I'll give you numbers of people you can call that have gone through this exact surgery and how their recovery is. So he's done his homework, but he went to Jesus first. But he's not sitting around moping and crying, why me? Because Dean understands our bodies break down. We damage them. They get old. And it's not because of lack of faith that things happen. I actually had people when I had my first hernia surgery tell me, you don't have faith or you wouldn't have hernia surgeries. And I go, really? Thanks a lot for the encouragement. I appreciate that very much. I went to Jesus. He didn't heal me. So I went to Dr. Humphrey. He took care of it. And since that time, I've been able to develop a friendship with Dr. Humphrey and been able to share, you know, Christ's love with him over a period of years. And it's really kind of neat sometimes when you think it should go one way to see how God does it another way. It's really important. God loves you, folks. He loves you more than you'll ever, ever, ever know. He loves you very, very much. And you're not the only one that is facing what you're facing. There's other people that are facing it. And you'll either be healed and help them, or you'll not be healed and comforted, and you'll help them as well. Now, after you go to Jesus first, and you know that God loves you, and that Satan's going to play a number in your head, but that's okay, you still go back to Jesus. And then you go to Proverbs chapter 3, and I love this proverb. I love this proverb very much. Proverbs chapter 3, right after Psalms. I just like to read through verses 1 through 10 because the whole thing, I just love it, but I'll just read verses 1 through 10. And this is what it says. My son, do not forget my law, the word of God, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. In other words, don't turn away from them. Bind them about your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. And here you go. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I actually have an issue that I've been dealing with, and I actually wrote down here, and lean not on your own understanding. I dated it and wrote the issue right here so that every time I read this, I'm reminded that I'm not to lean on my own understanding, but I'm to trust in the Lord with all my heart on this issue. And in verse 6, it goes on, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear or reverence the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with your first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Proverbs 3, 1 through 10, trust in the Lord and don't lean on your own understanding. So often the biggest enemy we have is not Satan, but it's us and our mind and leaning on our own understanding instead of trusting in the Lord. So you go to Jesus first, you know that he loves you, and then what you do is you trust in the Lord. And you get yourself out of the way, in other words. And then the final thing that you do to get yourself prepared, if you go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, this is so important that we need to understand that this needs to be part of our life in every aspect of our life. Verses 5 through 8, and this is what it says. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally, and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. We need to go to the Lord, and what faith we have, we need to say, Father, I don't want to be double-minded. I don't want to doubt. I don't want any of that stuff. I just want to come to you earnestly and honestly, and I want to ask you for wisdom. I want to believe that you're going to heal me because you are more than capable of healing me. But after I pray, do you want me to fast for the healing and wait a little bit longer? Or do you want me to go get some medicine? Do you want me to go see the doctor? Give me wisdom. What's that called, saints? It's called walking in the Spirit, isn't it? Walking and trusting God to direct and to guide you in the ways that he wants to heal you because he loves you and he does want to take care of you. And that's so important. So those are some just basic, simple things to prepare your heart and your soul for how God wants to heal you. Go to him first. Know that he loves you. Trust God. Don't lean on your own understanding. Ask for wisdom and lay yourself on his altar and say, God, I'm your servant. Do with me as you wish. And he will. But trust in the Lord and believe that he is more than capable, because he loves to heal people. And the greatest healing that any person needs in this world is the healing of the effects of the sin in their life. You see, sin is the great destroyer. Sin destroys more than anything else. Look at the lives that are out today in the streets. It's a result of sin so often. I was talking with Stephen. He just got back from vacation from Pittsburgh. And crime has just increased. And the reason that it's increased so much is that they put so many of these people in jail with these things that they were doing, and now they're out and they're back on the streets again, and crime's going back up. Why? Because they're living a holy, righteous life? I don't think so. It's because sin has entered in, and they're leaning in the direction of sin instead of in the direction of holiness. And Jesus came and died on the cross for all mankind. And what a beautiful thing that is, to realize that we can be set free from all of our sin, that when Jesus died on the cross, he died for every single human being. And all he's waiting for is people to come to him and say, Jesus, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Wash me clean of my sins and give me a fresh start in life. And you know what? The scripture says that he makes us a new being, a new creation, a new life. He gives us fresh. All the things from behind are washed away. They're forgotten in God's eyes. They're cleansed and you're purified. And once you accept Jesus Christ and you blow it, you can go to him and say, please forgive me. And he washes you and cleanses you from all unrighteousness. That's the Father. That's the God that we as Christians serve. We don't need to appease him. He's already been appeased. Isaiah 53 tells us that the sacrifice of Jesus, he was satisfied with. It well pleased him. And if today you're here and you've never surrendered your heart to Jesus Christ, all that I said before will mean virtually nothing. Because the greatest healing we need is the healing of our sins and to be set free and to become what the scripture talks about, Jesus said, born again. In other words, we are no longer going to live in the life that we had. We're going to live in the life that Jesus has for us. That is the greatest healing of all healings. The physical, the emotional, the spiritual, those are just additional things that God will bless you with. But the greatest thing is to have your heart and your life set for all of eternity with Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and pray.